Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Command.
Amazing, isn't it?
Live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm here with the rest of my soldiers, Jimmy Williams, Akil Bayon, B. Austin, and Paul Johnson. Tonight, we're going to discuss all the sports stories of the week, and we'll be talking NFL preseason football, which starts right after the show, and here, in the Pro Football Hall of Fame festivities from this past weekend. Y'all know we love to hear your thoughts on our topic, so join the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom and call in when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. But real quick, we want to give a shout-out to our homies Roy and Chris of the Broad Street Line. Catch their show right here on Blog Talk Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Those guys are hilarious. What else can we say about them, Jimmy? Did you hear the show last night, man? Dudes are crazy.
Yeah, man, they're hilarious, and they talked about some of the things we're going to talk about. But definitely check them out, and they're also on iTunes if you want to check them out on the podcast.
All right, so shout out again to Roy and Chris of the Broad Street Line. But right now, everybody, you know what time it is? It's birthday time.
My birthday! Yay!
All right, the birthdays as usual. Brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon. That's 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. We'll get your wig tossed up because you don't look good. All right, first birthday, fellas, is one Terry Gene Bollea, better known to the common man as Hulk Hogan. He turns 58 today.
Yay!
B. Austin, what do you think of when we say Hulk Hogan?
I kind of put him in the same category as my man Sean Corey Carter, the Camel. It's like, yo, he's an icon, but he does some shady stuff. Like, why did you go at my man, Macho Man, Mr. Pofo, man? Why'd you? And you ducking that wreck because the Ultimate Warrior's trying to come back and rumble you one time and you scared. So, yeah, he gave me some great memories, and I take my vitamins, but, you know.
All the little Hulkamaniacs out there. Jimmy, Hulk Hogan.
Yo. I ain't going front, yo. I think of Hulk Hogan, I laugh because I remember as a kid one time watching wrestling and getting all geeked up, and I tried to go eat raw eggs, and I hurled everywhere like Randy Moss. I hurled everywhere. In the
Yo,
my mom cussed me out. But, yo, it was all because I was watching Hulk Hogan, yo, and I saw him do it, you know what I mean, with Mean Gene, so I tried it myself.
Yo, that's funny because it must be everybody. I got the exact same story. Like, once I was in the kitchen with one of my little homies, cracked all the eggs, put them in the glass, and right before I tried to drink them, that's exactly what I said. I said, if Hulk Hogan can do it, I can do it. Gump. Them Jones came right back up on the floor like, yo, I guess Hulk Hogan is eating something different.
Hulk Hogan had a crazy palate.
Yeah, that's crazy. Kill Hulk Hogan.
Yo, as a kid, like in the mid-80s, man, I was a big Hulk Hogan fan, you know, watching wrestling on USA and watching the Saturday night special wrestling events they used to come on. And, yo, he was like, he used to get you hyped. You know, I remember when he'd be talking in his little mini conference thing. He'd be like, you know, make sure you say your prayers and eat your vitamins and, you know, brother, and then what you going to do in the largest arms in the world? Destroy you.
Yo, so his leg drop was serious, yo. His leg drop was crazy. All right, but,
yo, I tried the leg drop. I tried the leg drop in a rumble, and that don't really work.
Can't do that on the street, brother.
Yo, somebody in our chat, the jokers in our chat room said, you know, Hulk Hogan had the worst finishing move. And that's true. As big of a star he was, his finishing move was trash.
Was
leg drop, like, it wasn't like the bench press or the drop.
Yo, that leg drop. That dumb leg drop.
The leg drop.
He pressed you,
yeah,
and you that dumb leg drop. Yo, how you move
that
weak?
Yeah,
that
was his finishing joint. His get hype move after he get beat up for 20 minutes. He'd pick you up and military press you and then toss you somewhere.
Yo, y'all remember he did that? Yo, he did that to Andre the Giant, yo.
Yeah, he tried. He didn't really get him up. But let's move on.
Yeah, that was fraudulent.
Shout out to Thunder Lips on Rocky 3, too. the next birthday is a boxer. Jermaine Taylor turns 33 years old.
Yay!
Jimmy,
damn.
What's your recollection of Jermaine Taylor?
He was above average. I wouldn't call him a fraud the way Austin did. He got two wins over my man, over Bernard, So
that fight was fraudulent.
His last two fights though, he got his wig split though. He got like KO'd twice in his last.
You know what it is with Jermaine Taylor? It's hard to win a decision against him because he's real active. And even if he's not really hitting you, the judges fall for his activity, and he beats a lot of people on points. I mean, he's not a weakling. He looked like, if he can hit you with some clean stuff, he might put you to sleep.
Yeah, I don't think he's a bum, but I do remember Kelly Pavlik, wiping the floor with him.
I think
he knocked him out, a couple times. But anyway, yeah, he was above
Austin.
Average, but I wouldn't call him great.
Austin, you got him as a fraud?
Yo, I remember my old head destroying that man for like six rounds and then getting cheated. Yo.
He ugly, man.
F him.
You can't win decisions, split decisions.
Man, I root for the ugly side of the tracks, man. That's why Sam Cassell, one of my favorites.
Real quick, Dev, Jermaine Taylor also had a gangster nickname. His nickname was Bad Intention. That's gangster.
That's kind of hot. Hey, Bayon, Doc Bay, what you got on Jermaine Taylor?
Man, I don't have too much. Just that his wife, Erica Taylor, played in the WNBA. She was drafted in 2005 by the Mystics. But other than that, he wasn't a garbage boxer. He wasn't a great boxer. He was right in that category in between great and garbage. So I guess
that's a wide gulf, brother.
First of all, y'all talking about the dude like he died last week. This birthday is obituary. he was. This ain't no obituary column. All right, but the next one, former New York Knick, Mr. John Lavelle Starks.
My birthday, yay!
Hey, I'm being a Chicago Bulls fan. I know you got some history with John Starks, so you start us off on him.
Okay, to start off, my homie Malik from Philly, who the longtime Knicks fan, used to call John Starks coffee sipper lips. And other than that, he has a great story working himself from I don't know if he was bagging groceries or working at UPS or doing something before he got picked up after playing in the CBA. I mean, it's a great story for a guy that wasn't drafted. And then he made it all the way to the NBA Finals. But unfortunately, in the Finals, he shot, 2 for 17 or 1 for 18?
2 for 18.
If he could have hit two more shots, then the Knicks probably would be able to be back from something other than 1972 and 73.
Well, my fondest memory, and a lot of people's probably, is the dunk over your Chicago Bulls over Horace Grant and Michael Jordan. And I hear Austin already. Everybody try to remove Mike from the picture. He jumped. He got banged on. Period. Jimmy.
Yeah, that was a crazy dunk.
I think of a dude that worked his way into the league. I also think of that dunk, but he kind of rubbed me the wrong way. No Bert and Ernie. Because he was he used to talk a lot of trash. He used to carry himself as if he was, really nice. He was okay, but he used to act you would think that he was Mitch Richmond or somebody the way he talked.
Yo,
he had a few.
First of all, who let him take 18 shots?
I mean, he was he was one of their top scorers, though. I mean, you had Ewan, you had Starks putting it up.
I think it's because he was a Knick. Because he was a Knick, and people that play for the Knicks act as though, they just...
You already know that the franchise is overrated in the first place. because they're back now.
All right, so y'all want to ask me?
Well, go ahead, go ahead. So you said Mike was part of that donkey chip?
First of all, do y'all remember hearing my man talk? Yo, he sounded like, yo, he did not sound like he looked. He sounded like a chorus of Louis Armstrong horns. And then, yo, he used to be Mike Jordan's whipping boy so much that I ended up liking him after a while. Like, he took so much hell that I liked him.
Yeah,
yo, he had, yo, Mike, no one, yo, everyone in the world except for him knew that Mike scored a career's worth of points on him. Yo, he still thought he was good. Yo, I respected that. That's what I remember about the ball.
The last birthday of the day, we got another boxer. Former heavyweight champion Riddick Lamont Bowe turns 44 years old today.
My birthday! Yay!
Austin, Riddick Bowe.
Yo, didn't the boy go in the Marines to lose weight?
Man, he did a lot of stuff, man. Do you remember, I don't know if you were there yet, but at Howard, he came up one day. He was in the School of Business, and, you know, the rumor was going around that he was enrolling. And I was just like, how?
Like, he can't read.
I was just
he got famous. He got famous and just started doing stuff. Like, yo, I want to go climb mountains. Yo, I want to play football to death.
He had some classic title fights with Evander Holyfield, though. Those dudes was getting it on like they was two little Mexican dudes or something.
Yeah, he wasn't a bum.
Yeah, but Jimmy, Riddick Bowe.
Yo, when I think of Riddick Bowe, I think of a lot of funny things because the Bowe was hilarious, man. Like you said, he did a lot, but I remember hearing the story that when he was an amateur, he lost to what's the boy named, the big British boy, Lennox Lewis.
Lennox Lewis
as an amateur. They said Lennox gave him work. It knocked him out in like two rounds, and then when they got to the pros and they both were the top of their game, my man did everything possible to duck Lennox Lewis. He ain't won no part. Yo, he ain't won no
because that would have been a good fight.
He was Riddick Bowe, wasn't it? Like he's a good fighter. You know what I'm saying? But he ain't won no part to that. He tasted that canvas one time fighting the boy. He's like, I'm not going back there, yo.
All
he joined the military.
Doc May, finish it off with Riddick Bowe.
Yeah, Riddick Bowe. He was a you know, he was a good fighter. I thought he could have gotten more out of his talent. It seemed like after those Holyfield fights, he kind of disappeared off the map. And then for some reason, he looked like he could be Greg Cadillac Anderson's cousin.
Random.
All right. Well, that's the birthdays for the day. Jimmy, let everybody know what happened this week while they were on the grind.
Absolutely, no doubt. That came out of nowhere, yo. My fault. Anyway, what's up, everybody? I'm going to tell you what happened while you were on the grind. And, of course, this is brought to you by Philly Auto Design. So check them out at phillyautodesign.com because some of y'all whips is trash. Anyway, Real Madrid signs a 7-year-old prospect. That's right, guys. You heard me. A 7-year-old. I just want to get you guys' opinion of a 7-year-old being signed to a professional team.
They did that because Chivas Regal or whatever the other squad was looking at him, so it was a preemptive strike. But my question is, who's he going to play against and who's he going to train with?
Well, what I hear, you know, over there, they usually don't go 7 years old, but they'll get you as a young teenager and they'll put you into their youth leagues. You know, they'll start your training and then you'll go to their youth leagues. You know, it's kind of like a super minor league, but you know what I'm saying? He has to go from Argentina to Spain. Like, his life just changes because they signed him to a deal at 7 years. I think it's getting a little ridiculous, man. Seriously.
How much bread?
They didn't release any of those type of numbers, but it's not the youngest, but the youngest was kind of a publicity stunt by a team in
I remember where it was.
Yeah, it was like, it sounded like an 18-month-old. And had YouTube clips of the dude kicking little soccer balls into
the
ball.
Quick little check.
This one is like dead serious. They think the dude is that nice. And
yo, he could wind up being a golfer and not have any interest in soccer.
Yo, but how you that nice at seven though? Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be in what, second grade? Really?
Come on, man.
Yeah,
that's. Who was y'all doing at seven?
Yeah, I wasn't playing for.
I was watching Hulk Hogan getting in trouble because I was trying to eat some raw eggs, but you know, this time with Real Madrid. Come on, Cush.
Pitch raw eggs on the floor at seven.
Doc Bay, how do you feel about this, Doc Bay? You have a young man. You say, you know, you have your son. How would you react to someone trying to sign your son?
At seven, I mean, I'm all in the belief of letting your kids be kids, and then when it's that time for them to take to sports or whatever craft it is, you know, just going, you know, 100%, going as hard as you can, because you know, if you notice, a lot of the child prodigies and their adult lives wind up being garbage. Some of them
garbage lives
for real, and some of them come out to be the best ever at their crafts, but then, you know, when they reach adulthood, you know, it's all kind of problems, or there's such a strain between the kid and the parent. You know, I'll give you a couple of examples. Rory Jones' dad at one point made him the best boxer on the planet for a number of years, and then, you know, but him, he hates his dad for the way his dad whipped him, trained him, and pushed him. You know, same thing with Michael Jackson and his dad, and then what Michael Jackson wound up, you know, I could kind of say things that contributed to him not being here with all the drugs and stuff he was taking. And then same thing with Todd Marinovich, the quarterback.
Todd Marinovich.
Yeah.
Him, so I get where you're going with your point, Phil.
Don't forget about Jesus Shuttlesworth. His pot was hard on him, too.
True. Phil, what you're saying is Roy Jones is getting back at his pop by getting knocked flame out.
Let's move on to the next story real quick. I just want to get a real quick opinion of this. Is it time for Joe Pa to hang it up? Because he got injured again having a collision with a player in practice.
No.
Austin's one of the Joe Pa has earned every minute of how long he wants to stay crew.
No, I want Joe Pa to die at the 50-yard line.
He has earned that, but at some point he has to draw his own line in the sand, like, all right, right now I'm just in the way. Seriously.
I feel you.
He's going to kill himself out there.
But Dev, notice what you just said. You said he has to draw that line. There's no – yo, he's like next to Zeus on Olympus Mountain. Like, yo, yo, because listen, remember when we all thought he was done? And I admit I thought he was done too, even though I would argue with Jimmy that he wasn't. And then he came back, and now Penn State is nice again. And I didn't think that would happen. And I know
that has nothing to do with him.
That's a major program. Penn State's not going to stay down if Joe Pa.
That has nothing to do with him.
Penn
That's State the people around him.
Up and down. They're going to be good.
Listen, man.
Bottom line is this,
Joe
man. In the words of the great Robin Harris, a Joe Pa, why don't you just go home? It's time to go away, old man. Anyway, because we run out of time, I'm going to get a couple more stories down. I want to ask you guys' opinion of this. Did you hear about Dayton Akers? He bought a billboard along I-95 thanking all the Eagles fans for his 12 years here. So you think this will endear him to the fans, you know, when he comes back as a 49er?
Yeah, I think he was endeared anyway, but that just made his case a little stronger. You know what I'm saying? I really haven't heard anybody say anything bad about David Akers outside of myself.
Probably
it wasn't bad. It was just that he was falling off.
Nobody
you know
talks about kickers until they throw the game.
Yeah, he was just falling off. I wasn't saying nothing about him personally. But, yeah, to answer your question, it makes his case a lot stronger. He'll get cheered until he makes that game-winning field goal one day.
I'm looking at the ceiling right now thinking that Akers ain't an Eagle, man. Dude, he should have been an Eagle till he retired. You saw what he did to Brandon Jacobs, man. Did you see what he did to Brandon?
He should have
got the Joe Pa treatment, and he got to stay here as long as he wanted.
Yo, man, he body slammed a 200. Yo, he slammed a 280-pound man and then stood up to him and said, what you want to do?
Well, let's put him at middle linebacker because he ain't kicking that well anymore.
He's better than Ernest Sims.
We need a linebacker.
Yo, another quick story. Channing Crowder retires at age 27. Because he didn't want to play for another team outside of the Dolphins, although he had some offers on the table, and the Patriots wanted to bring him in for a look. But he said that if he can't play for the Dolphins, he's going to retire.
Yo.
He's doing this for attention.
The Dolphins? Really? It don't got nothing to do with the Dolphins. He don't want to move from Miami. That's all that is. Who want to play for the Dolphins, man? Besides Channing Crowder and Jason
besides
Taylor.
Besides Mercury Moore.
You know, Jason Taylor went back, so, but he has more of a history there, so you can kind of understand that. He was there when they were good. But Channing Crowder, come on, man. Get yourself a job. He also said he's a family man.
Another quick story. The legendary Raider punter, Ray Guy, went broke and sold his 3 Super Bowl rings for $80,000. And he was saying that this guy will probably be the first punter to make it to the Hall of Fame. And he has 3 Super Bowl rings. And this just shows you that it's not a modern thing of players, like, you know, blowing money fast, because Ray Guy played back in the day and, you know, he blew money.
But I'm pretty sure he didn't have the money. He didn't have the kind of money that modern players have. So, and it did take him this long to go broke, so I wouldn't put him in that category. But all he got was
going broke for a while. But it looks like he was going broke for a while. But he was trying his best to do everything to hold on to these rings. It was the last thing he let loose.
I mean, the rings back then were corny though, so I can see why he only got $80,000. Them joints look like high school graduation rings with like one stone.
Yo, the first punter to ever get some money was Reggie Roby.
Yo, Reggie Roby was nice. But real quick before we move on, because we're running out of time, is the last thing. Brad Childress comes out today, and he's talking about his tenure as a Vikings coach. And he made a comment about y'all boy Randy Moss. He said, Randy Moss basically vomited on the Vikings locker room. Any thoughts on that?
Yo, man. Go ahead.
I got some thoughts on that. I think that goes into my argument of my 4 receivers who I might rather have other than Randy Moss. That's all.
Because you know a lot of people out there that are going to take Randy's side. Because I'm looking at our Facebook page now and everybody's saying how Childress was a stubborn idiot and he killed that team. I disagree. Childress was a coach who tried to go in and be a coach. If you're going to sign somebody to be your head coach, let the man do his job. But if you're going to try to, you know, be over his shoulder with everything he does, then, yeah, it's going to look like he's a stubborn idiot because he's trying to fight to have his own team.
Childress did some dumb stuff. Like, he cut Randy Moss without talking to the owner, and that pissed the owner off.
He apologized for that. He did say he shouldn't have done that. But still,
you know
he didn't stand up
to Brett Favre either, though.
I see what happened because Randy Moss came in the locker room, and he had, like, Percy Harvin and Adrian Peterson, like, yo, y'all want my lunch? What can we do for you, Randy? Can we wash your wheels?
Wash your wheels.
Yo, y'all didn't
hear that. Bottom line is that is what happened while y'all were on the grind. That you got it, homie.
All right. We ain't got no order. We're going to do this off the fly. It's time to pass that rock. If this is your first time listening, Pass the Rock is a segment that we do where all 5 of your hosts get to vent on any given topic. If you don't want to vent, you can just talk about whatever you want to talk about. And I'm going to go ahead and start that off this week.
We running that Don Nelson offense.
Tell me why you're mad, sir. Tell me why you're mad, sir. All right, I'm not really mad. This is Devin, everybody. I just want to say a little something brief. We always get on Ocho Cinco's case when he's cooning around for attention, so I thought it'd only be fair if I give him some props when he does something pretty cool. Even though his latest activity is yet another obvious attempt to garner attention, the nature of this one could make the month of some lucky Patriots fan. Chad told reporters earlier this week that for the first few weeks of the NFL season, he will live at a fan's home. The receiver only has 2 stipulations for his temporary roommate/landlord. 1, they must have internet, and 2, they must have Xbox. So I guess as long as Ocho can play his video games and tweet, he'll have all he needs. I can only imagine how many Patriot fanatics will be excited at the prospect of entertaining their favorite team's new fun-loving wide receiver at their home for a few weeks while he searches for a place to live. I'm assuming this stunt will ultimately be rent-free, but I'd assume that Chad would at least fill your fridge with all kinds of cool stuff, but that's only an assumption. And you probably instantly become the coolest dude in your fantasy football league. So kudos to Chad. You finally found a way to include your fans in one of your attention star publicity stunts. I really like. And with that, I'm going to pass the rock to my man, B. Austin, cutting down on the wing.
Yo, I'm going to make this real brief. Donovan McNabb comes off of my I want to beat up list because he's no longer relevant and no longer important, and he got traded for a bag of Doritos, a Hall's cough drop, and a plastic bag filled with hair. So, you're not important, Donovan. But there is someone that has gotten onto my list, and it's Courtland Finnegan for a number of reasons. Why, you ask? I'm glad you did ask. Let me share. Number one, not good. A light-skinned brother at cornerback is almost as bad as Jason Sehorn at cornerback. It's just he's just not going to get the job done. Number two, he thinks he's tough, and he got beat up on national TV. Yo, I couldn't stand to be sunned like that on national TV by a nice guy that gets invited out with McGruff the dog to talk to students. Come on, man. And then lastly, this week you insulted Titans fans, the media, and the owners, saying that you walked off the job with permission, when in actuality, you just decided that because they were paying you still more than you were worth as a bum, that you wanted a couple more dollars, and they would renegotiate your contract. So you walked off and said you should be being paid like a top 10 corner. Then you backed up off your words, the coward that you are, and said, oh, I had permission. It was a personal matter, family issue. I just had to leave and go home. I told my bosses. No, you didn't. When you walk off of a job as a normal person and not an athlete, you get fired. And that's exactly what Tennessee should do with your dumb ass. Holla at me. Who wants to rock?
I got it. Interesting, man. Interesting. All right, now, good evening, War Room World. I just wanted to take the time to talk about the Denver Broncos QB situation. From all reports, Kyle Orton has outplayed Tim Tebow to become the starter for the Denver Broncos at this point in time. Of course, we have a number of preseason games left that can change that. Now, for some reason, people are hating on Orton for just being a better QB at this point in time, even with Orton being on the trade block. I was surprised that Tebow came out and said that he was hurt by the criticism. I'm used to Tebow being a hardworking, stand-up, no-nonsense, and quiet guy who does not get caught up in the media hype or criticism. All I have to say to Tebow and the diehard Tebow fans is just chill and let the course of time happen, and Tebow will have his chance. I do have a quote from Bill Romanowski. He said that if he were playing against Tebow, he would lay Tim Tebow out, and also that Tebow should be playing on a team that doesn't have a chance of going anywhere so he can play through all his mistakes. Now, what has been lost in all of this is the development of Kyle Orton as an above-average QB. I remember when Orton was with the Bears and he was just a game manager getting by. Now, Orton is looking like a bona fide NFL starter capable of winning games and not just managing them. Shout out to Kyle Orton and him just going to work, not expecting anything to be given to him, and just earning it and taking spots. And with that, I would throw a bounce pass across court to James Williams.
Yes, sir. As a Broncos fan, you know, I want to say a couple things about that. It's interesting. I mean, at the end of the day, you just have to see what Tebow can do, and the only way is to get him out there. Because people say Kyle Orton had a great season last year and he looked good. But Kyle Orton was 3-10 last year, people. Let's not forget that. Anyway. What's up, War Room World? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint, a.k.a. War Room Jimmy. And this week, I'll be brief, but I want to say a few words about Jay-Z. Yep, that's right, I said Jay-Z. Now, to all my people from Uptown and Philadelphia, don't get upset because I understand he is your hero, and many of you act like he was born on Stanton Avenue. But just hear me out before I start getting your hate tweets. People have often called Jay-Z the Michael Jordan of hip-hop, but I vehemently disagree with that. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm a Jay-Z fan, but who are we kidding calling him the greatest when he, in his own words, dumbed down his lyrics to double his dollars? He says his skill sold, truth be told, he'll probably be lyrically talented quality. Listen, I understand what he was trying to say, but Jordan was a monster on the court. He wanted to be the greatest skill-wise, and it wasn't about the money, although the money was a byproduct of him being great. I'm bringing all this up because Watch the Throne was just released, and all the Jay-Z protectionists are out in full force defending their hero, although he once again has released a product that is not on par with what he is capable of. Now, you're probably wondering, what does this have to do with sports? I had a conversation with my homie, Corey Camp, shout out to Corey, and we had a better athlete we wanted to compare Jay-Z to. Jay-Z is the Randy Moss of hip-hop. Hear me out. Reasonable Doubt was a classic just like Randy Moss's rookie season, and his season with the Patriots was his Black album. Randy is one of the greatest wide receivers of all time, but we all look at him and believe that he should have been the greatest, but the effort just wasn't there. Jay should have been the greatest MC ever, but the effort wasn't there. He instead decided to dumb down his lyrics to double his dollars, and he's never fulfilled his full potential. Both these guys are great at what they do, but they should have been better. And before you stand, start calling, texting, and tweeting me, running down Jay-Z's business accomplishments, I want you to ask yourself a question. What the hell does that have to do with his music and lyrics? Those accomplishments sound more like excuses as to why he didn't fulfill his potential. I respect what he does from a business standpoint, but when I'm in my whip and I hear Jay-Z say lines like a rabbit, I like carrots, I don't say, you know what? He owns part of the Nets and the 40-40 clubs. No, I call it whack, and you should as well. Listening to Watch the Throne was painful. It was like watching Randy Moss play last season. It had its moments, like Randy Moss making plays on Monday Night Football and catching Brett Favre's 500th touchdown pass, but it was full of subpar Jay-Z verses, comparable to watching Randy Moss play as a Tennessee Titan. So as a Jay-Z fan, but an honest one, I want to ask Jay-Z to do me a favor and retire the same way Randy Moss did, because you're ruining your legacy. And for those who say Watch the Throne is the greatest album ever, I want you to have your mother as well as yourself neutered, because we have to stop spreading the word with stupidity. And me, I'm nice. And with that, I dump the rock.
And the Chris out. Go without.
Yeah, I'll be lunching, man.
Yo. Good brother.
Let them people,
let them people know how them people know how they can get with us.
Franklin Hatchett.
Hey, Jim, all I got to tell you about that PTR is, live from Bedford Stuyvesant, from the live from Bedford Fuller.
I already got a text message. Somebody told me to stop hating. I'm like, damn, I just finished it like 2 seconds ago.
They had it waiting. They had it queued up till you finished.
That wide nose bubble lip camel is trash. Anyway, let me let y'all know how y'all can get in touch with us. It ain't that hard. Just go to our website, www.warroomsports.com. While you're there, sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter, right there on the homepage. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. While you're still on the site, click on the Memorabilia tab to buy cool War Room Sports merchandise, and click the Blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page and to follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to and friend our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com for access to all of our media content in one place, anywhere, anytime. Download the War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple device. And for general inquiries, you can always email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast. You can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when you're prompted, and if you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is just like raising your hand. And you never know, one of the War Room professors just might call on you.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, Jimmy, I used to rhyme like Common Sense. But I made $5 million, so I ain't been rhyming like Common Sense.
I'm about to call a Papa on myself. Hey, Jimmy, actually, Corey Camp, who you mentioned in your PTR, when we asked on Facebook, is Jay-Z to Randy Moss a rap, he said, hell yeah. I'm thinking he probably didn't understand what we was getting at.
Oh no, he does because me I was talking to Corey. That's how we came up with that whole concept. We was trying to figure out because people keep telling us this Michael Jordan stuff. Cool off. And while we added, Tupac is trash. But go ahead though.
let's jump into some hot topics real quick because we're gonna get back on that actually. U.S. and Mexico played last night in the rematch of the Gold Cup final. Now, they played to a draw, but the real big story of this was Jurgen Klinsmann. He's the new coach of the U.S. national team. He had his coaching debut. Did anybody see the game? Austin, did you see the game? I know you don't.
Yeah, I saw parts of the second half.
So you saw the late game that Robbie Rogers scores the late goal to make it a draw. What did you think that, you know, do you think that was a good, you know, I was about to say win, but do you think the draw was good for Klinsmann in his first game? Since it was just
a
friendly exhibition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought that, you know, see, first of all, America has a knee-jerk reaction, you know, when it comes to sports. Everything must be win, win, win now. And so we've never had that much success at soccer. And Klinsmann is one of these old school soccer coaches, FIFA coaches, and he came right out and said, basically, without using our terms, that the U.S. really is garbage. And not from a talent standpoint, but from a coaching strategy and execution standpoint. So I think he's going to bring a lot of discipline to the way they play, utilize that athleticism and passing. If you watch the German team play in the World Cup, their whole focus was passing, because soccer is much like basketball. You got guys that can handle the ball and go one-on-one, but it doesn't lead to wins. So I think he's going to install a system that's going to help the U.S. really climb the ladder in international competition. And the Mexicans are a great test because they're very, very fast, fast Mexicans. And
they work hard.
You know, they're probably and they work hard, and they're probably the most talented team in North America.
And they be at Home Depot.
A lot of them drive home together at the gym, same car. But
listen,
no, what you're saying is cool though, because it goes to what he did last night. As far as the jerseys go, he stripped all the names and numbers off the back of the jersey, and he replaced them with numbers 1 through 11 for the starters and 12 to 18 for the reserves, because he's trying to tell them that the only thing that matters is representing your country. Forget the name on the back of the jersey. Forget the number that you picked that means so much to you. He's trying to, you know, simplify everything so these dudes can just focus on the task at hand. So that's what's up. Congratulations to the homie. Let's move on. PJ, what's up with your man Shane Victorino? They suspended him for 3 games. He's appealing it for that bench clearing brawl between the Phillies and the Giants last week. You think he deserved that?
I think 3 was a little steep. I put it like this: when it happened, he like pump faked running out to the mound.
Yeah, he never.
I mean,
really.
Now everybody is. He never really ran out. Everybody is saying that it was, as you talked about last week, the unwritten rule, because Jimmy stole the base and they were up by what, 4 runs at the time? I don't remember. I think it was like 6-2 or something. Anyway, they were up, and since he stole the base, then the next guy up was supposed to get plunked, and that just happened to be Sugar Shane. So my thing is, Shane, when he went to go to the mound, because I don't know if you peeped the catcher. Like, as soon as Shane started to go toward the mound, the catcher started jumping up and down, like about to get in his stance like he was going to do something. He was annoying me. I wanted Shane to put a hickey in his chin, but he never did. And the thing is, once it, like, everybody got out there, and then, you know, it was just a big, like, grouping of people, Shane started, like, trucking the ump. He trucked the ump trying to get away. One of them joints where where you grab the ball and be like, get off me, but you're still holding the ball so you can't get loose. It was like one of them joints, and then he got loose and trucked the ump. So the point, that long story was all to say is, I think when he trucked, when he trucked the ump, that's what got him the 3 games. Like, if he didn't truck the ump and just was talking trash, I don't think he would have got 3.
I agree with you, because when he first made his, whatever that was, that attempt to rush the mound or just to get mad, I was thinking Shane was a punk because he didn't rush the mound.
Me
too. But like you said, the catcher was jumping around as if he called that. Like, he probably told the pitcher to pitch it, that, you know, to hit him with the pitch. Because as soon as the pitch hit him, dude jumped up like he was ready. Like, he was expecting the whole thing to go down. But Shane never really rushed the mound.
Catcher called it.
Three is a little, I don't know. I mean, who else got in trouble? That's what I want to know. Like, is he the only cat that got in trouble? Because that's the only one they reported on.
That's, I think he's the only one that got a suspension. That's why the only thing I thought that the only thing would have been because of the ump, like when he was going after the guy, because, I mean, he didn't even do anything. I guess he was out there swinging blows, but he didn't even really run to the mound.
You hit me with a 95-mile-an-hour pitch and then walk up to me like, and what, and then I get suspended.
Yo, the pitchers be walking off the mound when they plunk you. They walk off the mound like, and what? I guess they don't want to look like punks just standing there like lame ducks, but.
Once they know that the catcher's going to tackle the dude. You know,
yeah,
why he running out there. You know he got some backup. So one of these days I want the catcher to be, like, upset at this pitcher and just let dude go. See how tough it
is. Say, get it.
I mean, the way they throw, though, I got the pitcher. Like, if he can catch the dude with his strong hand, he might knock him clean out.
And then Popeye arm.
Anybody else want to talk about Shane, or we can move on from him?
No, we can move on from that, because that's all it's bogus, yo. All
right, well, I got a question about your man, because he's getting, in my opinion, he might be getting a little too much press. So I want to ask y'all, is this dude Stevie Williams, Tiger's ex-caddy, getting a little too much press, or is it just
He's a caddy!
Why are we
caddy!
Hey,
Tiger's
getting this much. That's a testament to just how dominant and how popular Tiger is.
Right, exactly.
That's a testament to how horrible society is and how caught up in BS. Soap opera's done went off the air, so now, you know, anything is entertaining.
The thing about it, if he's not Tiger's ex-caddy and Tiger didn't just fire him, do they even put a microphone in this dude's face?
No.
No, but like I said, a testament to Tiger. Who the hell was, you know, Arnold Palmer's caddy? Anybody know him?
Well,
no, I think he works at Scepter right now.
Yeah, that boy driving the 54. But, when his dude, Scott, won last week, he did just make it all about himself. He didn't even congratulate his golfer. He just went on a tirade about, you know, stick that in your face, Tiger. Like, dude, like, you're a caddy. Like,
he's a caddy.
You're a professional lackey. That's what you carry back.
You're a professional. You're a ball placer. You're a professional ball placer.
Let me ask you a question, though. Do you think they contribute anything? Because, like, if dude obviously, like, does something well, the players he, you know, caddies for wins, do you think they have anything at all to do with the success of the golfer?
Yo, Stevie, is that bag heavy?
Is that bag heavy?
Well, good. I hope it is heavy.
I think at Tiger, I don't know, at Tiger's level, I don't know that he helped, that the caddies are that much of an assistance in terms of improving their games. I think maybe the earlier stage golfers, sometimes the caddies can give them recommendations with irons to use and this, that, and the third. But I think somebody at Tiger's level, I don't know if they're really improving his game.
If you remember, he became popular as Tiger's caddy because he was also Tiger's goon. He used to snap on cat and try to introduce people off of him.
Yeah, he used to try to run the crowd of people talking too much.
But he won Tiger without 40K. He had his back. He had his back.
Yo, wasn't he making like a mil a year? Wasn't Steve Williams making like a mil a year?
He made more than any caddy in history.
Yeah, but that's
Tiger.
They make a percentage. They make a percentage.
Yeah, I know.
Tiger,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Money. So, yeah.
Tiger was getting
his So, in essence, he was Tiger's stick holder. He was his ball placer. He was his bodyguard. Probably drove him around, too. Like, yo, Stevie, just shut up. That's
the funny thing about Stevie is. All right, go ahead.
Okay,
The only thing I was going to say real quick is he made a statement when he won in the last week when his golfer won. He said that was the biggest win of his life. I'm like, dog, you won 4 majors, maybe 6 majors with Tiger.
He's
talking about this was the biggest win of your life.
Tiger pooped on him, so he was just trying to get back. Tiger did him dirty. Bottom line,
you
Tiger
know why it was
dirty.
The biggest win of his life? Because it happened a few days after Tiger canned him. That's the only.
Tiger canned him after the boy had his back. He's the only person that had Tiger's back, and Tiger got rid of him anyway. But you know,
he's worth like a bagger Vance.
Yo, caddies are overrated. And speaking of overrated, Jimmy just mentioned a little bit about this, but you know the New Jersey Nets minority owner Jay-Z, why we put that back in the sports realm. He and Kanye West had a highly anticipated album come out this week, Watch the Throne. Now, I know I told y'all yesterday that I was going to listen to it today, but I still haven't gotten a chance to listen to it. So has anybody besides Jimmy heard the joint yet?
No. Man, this how you know Jay-Z is getting bad.
Because
back
we
in the day,
front.
we'd have been on this joint by now. I heard
know.
Otis.
Yeah, that is true, though. That is true.
I'm just
though.
Not compelled. It's a,
no.
I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's not just not that compelling to get the latest Jay-Z album because now at this point, I think as talented as an artist as he is, a lot of his stuff is just starting to run together. And it's not because I don't get it or understand what he's saying. He's not that deep. He's just, it's just not that much you can talk about at some point. I mean, at some point, I mean, maybe there are things, but...
You think he's, like, run out of stuff to talk about or stuff to say?
For his style, I think he did. For his style of rap, I think he almost did. He's starting to repeat stuff now.
Exactly what you said, PJ. Now, people try to say, oh, if you don't like Jay, then he's probably going over your head.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's the exact opposite. I think the fact that you think he's running out of stuff to say, I think you can run out of stuff to say when you're not deep. You know, how many times are you going to tell me that you got more money than me? And, you know, I already know that. You the man.
Don't forget that he's grown up.
Yeah, great artists never run out of things to say. They never run out of impressions or perspectives on the world that they live in. And Jay's world is just littered with riches, so it's like it's all about I'm richer than you. But I think
hold on though, you made a point. You said great artist. He's made a point of telling you he's not an artist, he's an hustler. So,
oh, you're right.
He knows how to rap, remember?
Yeah, you're right. I got
he
it misconstrued.
Well, Jimmy, real quick, while I was about to screen something, but real quick, since you're the only one that heard it, I mean, I know you gave a little bit of insight
on
it.
Well, no, here's my overall, and I'm going to keep it brief. My overall thing is that it's not a horrible album, it's not horrible, but at the same time, it's not great either. It has no replay value. I really don't care to hear it again, and it's one of those things where, face it, like if you're a artist the level of Jay-Z or even a Kanye West, the bar is set a little bit higher for you than everybody else. People have made the argument, if somebody else released this, you'd be singing it hot, but nobody else released it. That's the point. The point is, if you're Jay-Z, the bar is set at a certain level. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you call yourself the Michael Jordan of rap. F-O-H.
MJ went hard till he was 40-something trying to go hard.
Yo, but
like,
and here's the thing, though. Even when MJ was with the Wizards, it wasn't for lack of effort. He just didn't have it. Like,
I get the opinion
when I listen to Jay-Z, like, the album sounded like it was done in 2 days. Like, there's not the effort there because, you know, I don't know this to be fact, but this is just my opinion after listening. It's like they're going to buy it regardless of what I say. So I could just say, you know.
We're not telling people not to buy it.
And that's supposed to be a deep line. F-O-H.
Well, real quick, before we move on, compare it to the other duo just came out, Royce and Eminem.
Not even on the same level. Yo, Bad Meets Evil takes a feces all over this album. And you know, I hate to say this, but it's the truth that it, on my GOAT list, Eminem has surpassed Jay-Z. I mean, he already took a menorah on him when they rapped on the same track.
Eminem murdered you on your own track.
No, but I'm just being honest. Like Eminem, if we talking hip hop, you know, the same thing as sports. You know, we always ranking who's better, who's this. In my opinion, Eminem is better than Jay-Z at this point.
Eminem is an artist.
I like Jay-Z's verses on Renegade. I think that was.
Oh, they weren't trash.
Probably,
they
yeah,
weren't
that
trash.
Was probably
I'm
some of his better
trash.
Verses in the last 15 years. But
yo, did you know the story behind that song, which makes it crazy? But the thing that makes that crazy is that song Renegade was already a song with Royce and Eminem. He sent it to Jay-Z. Jay-Z took Royce's verse off and laid his own verse. So you got body when the dude already laid his verse down months before you. So you had a chance to sit there and write. And you got body.
You had a chance to work on your verse.
Exactly.
Yo,
Jay-Z is.
Y'all know Jay want to be big, though. Jay don't write verses. He just laid it down.
Nah.
Went in the studio. He's great like that. He just went in the studio, laid it down, said, let's go, because I'm Jay, and that's how we do.
Like you said, he goes into his metamorphosis. As he said, he goes into his metamorphosis in the studio. He sits in the chair and he starts to shake and have convulsions, and then he just starts to spit. Wow! Everybody just sits back and be like, everybody be in the studio like, ooh!
I mean, DJ, why he's shaking? He's going through his pocket, pull out a wallet-sized picture, big.
Oh, yeah, start drooling. Start drooling.
All right, well, we can go ahead and move on from that. Jimmy, take us into some of that. Got a few brief NBA stories to touch on.
Yeah. No doubt. I got it, cuz. Yo, PJ crazy, cuz. Talk to Hoops real quick. Before I even get into these stories, I just want to say that Ezra from Who Ate My Ice Cream, he actually made a statement on Facebook that I agree with. Regarding all these NBA talk about players going overseas and that it's kind of getting played out and people should just, like, report it once they do it because at this point you've heard
only
everybody going everywhere.
Only one person.
Let's just talk about that. Durant's agent is negotiating with D. Will's Turkish club and also in contact with clubs in Spain and Russia. Your man Metal World Peace is talking with a club in the U.K.,
Tell the people who Metal World Peace is. Tell them who it is.
That's my man Ron Artest, a.k.a. QB. Yo,
QB. A.k.a. Metal World Peace.
Wade Boozer said, basically, look, we'll play somewhere. They ain't even say where. We're going to play somewhere the lockout extends.
They might be in Philly.
My question is this. Are you guys also tired of this? Like, seriously, like,
Let me keep it real around the economics of the situation. Yo, there's only about 5 or 6 European clubs that can afford to pay for the services of a marquee superstar, and they already have roster spots loaded up, so their season's about to start. So there's a very limited amount of jobs that are really available for these guys, so they can talk all of that, and it's not really going to happen in FIFA play.
But just think about it. It's only about 5 or 6 legitimate marquee superstars in the NBA. But go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good point. But these squads only, and we have our international ballers on. You know, those squads range anywhere from 2 foreign import players to 3 or 4, and so they're not waiting around for NBA superstars to call them. They're filling their rosters up. So all of this talk is really going in one ear and out the other for me because, number one, they can't pay, and, number two, they have to have roster stability. And so those two things being said, I don't think it's really going to happen the way that people see it happening. They're not going to be an influx of NBA superstars over the water. That's just my take. You may get some Chinese action. Because the Chinese make up their own rules, so you can see them start a league.
You already have like 2 players who are saying they don't want to go to China. So China might have the money, but cat's not trying
to
fall.
Trying to be up in China.
Yo, in our chat room, John says that this year the Sunny Hill League might be popping.
Andre Iguodala, my favorite player, Andre Iguodala, yesterday was talking on the Four Letters show. And he was saying that they'll probably do a tour. Like, he's not sure about actually going over to play.
Right.
He was saying they might
do
a tour, which is, you know, just going through and they're playing some of the international
exhibition games. Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly, exhibition. So he was like, he thinks it's just, he's kind of like echoed our point in the sense that he's like, he thinks it's a little bit overblown. A lot of players are saying it to kind of make it seem like they have some, like, we don't need the NBA kind of deal, but in reality, they're not really going to bust that move.
They're trying to say they got that global appeal.
Like, 10 dudes at the top of the league get signed. The rest of the league, the guys who really need the money, are still out of work. That's not any leverage with the owners. Like, I don't even get
why
they think that's leverage. That's leverage. The broke dudes are still out of work.
I actually was speaking to a professional basketball player yesterday, a dude that plays in a Series B league or played in a Series B league in Italy. And what he was saying was that a lot of the jobs even that are open are beneath what an NBA player would take anyway. Like, he's like, yo, I go over there and I play for $60,000 a season just to keep it real with you, homie. Like, ain't no real NBA starter quality player going to play for $60,000 for a season.
Metal World Peace might do it.
Metal World Pizza paid him 60.
Yo,
y'all get his rap album out. Promote his rap album.
Yo, that's a good story. Chris Bosch, a.k.a. Bert and Ernie, shows off his new back tattoo all over the internet. Kind of suspect if you ask me. But what's up with your man, like, spreading it all over the internet, wanting to show everybody his new tattoo?
Yo, I heard about this, but what is the tattoo? What is it?
Yo, I couldn't even tell you. It's a series of crap. It covers his whole back.
Seriously,
it covers his whole back. You know, the boy is, he's damn near 7 feet tall, and the joint covers his whole back. On one point, I saw, like, a woman, and it's two women. There's one on the top of his back, one on his lower back. They both look like
those are the women that he sees himself as.
But listen, yo, one of the women, she's like cradling a skull's head, like the skull just died, and, you know, she was cradling the bull. Yo, I don't know. And her hands look real manly-like. So she got a womanly-looking face and hair. She's cradling a skull, and her hands look like she was playing in dirt. It's weird.
She was playing in dirt.
Let me find out, man got a prison tattoo artist.
Hey,
yo, Dev, real quick.
Yeah.
I got it up now. What you just described is like at the bottom right corner, and then if you start from the top on the right, it's like a I seen her hand. Her hand looks like an eagle. It's like a slash eagle slash bear hand. And at the top you have this lady.
Like
you have this lady with her eyes closed
on his right
with her mouth open. Yeah, on the right shoulder. They're right there. Got like
she's
a lion.
Over.
No,
she's over
like
a saber-tooth tiger. With
yeah,
some beautiful
tiger. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the right
line
side.
Yo, where he
bottom
get his meat at?
Paul needs some yams. That's all it boils
hold
down
on.
To.
Then on the left side, he got a tree with like a bird yelling at the tree. And on top, he got like a bearded white man. I don't think that don't look like what people be saying Jesus look like. I don't know who that dude is. And he got something way on the left shoulder that you can't. Yo, something's wrong.
He got lay off that groupie.
Yo, all I'm going to say is the very next picture, we're going to see a picture of him with his feminine parts pierced. That's the next picture from Christina Bach.
I can see on
next
the left.
Next picture going to be at the LeBron face.
Yo, what does that mean? Yo, what does all of that mean?
All that means
yo,
nobody
like,
none of that means, yo.
This look like the Tigers, like, the musical tiger meets the woman with the messed up hands meets Alfred Hitchcock, the bird.
Yo.
I'm not really fond of men with back tattoos anyway, but I guess he trying to show this is over his whole back. He trying to show I guess he want to show people he a tough guy. But this just has sense to the layman.
That joint is trash. Like, I mean, that's the bottom line. Like, the joint is just trash, yo. All that on his back, all that boils down to is that he prays to Voldemort. Anyway, real quick, let's talk about your man. Let's talk about your man, LeBron, yo. LeBron went off to see the Wizard. Finally, he goes to Houston to work on his post game with the dream.
Yo. All I got to say, I told people this earlier in the week, like, you know, we criticize LeBron and everything, but I think LeBron plus a post game equals trouble for the rest of the NBA.
If he'd have made this trip 3 years ago, he'd have had 3 rings already.
Yeah, he should have been ran down the yellow brick road, though.
Yo, the funny thing is, we've been saying this on the War Room, even though, I mean, amongst ourselves, like, for years. And now, he's going to go see the Wizards.
Yo, y'all know Kobe is his hero, and so Kobe did it, so you knew eventually he was going to do it.
The funny thing is, he didn't need to adopt the post game. Let him tell it when people would bring it up in interviews
and
things.
My question to you guys is how much of the man is the dream though? The dream is like a Jedi Knight post moves. Like he sits down in Houston and catches
homage.
Hey,
Jim,
what post
game was Yoda? Y'all know that boy was Yoda.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Y'all talked about him. What about his fans, though? Because when, to Akil's point, when we've been saying that for years, you know, and that's just constructive criticism. All his fans would tell us, y'all hating, blah, blah, blah. But as soon as they announced that he was doing this, a lot of them dudes got hyped. A lot of the dudes that we talked to got all excited.
They are the same ones. They're the same ones that think Watch the Throne is hot. They're just a bunch of dudes that just run around and kill other men's Johnson.
But this,
that's
this
what they
whole
do. They're
thing,
Richard writers.
This whole thing just shows you that LeBron, he's finally shared some of the advice from all his yes men and his yes fans who tell him that he's already the greatest, and he's going to improve his game. So, I give him props for that. Took long enough.
Yo, do you guys think you think Hakeem like has a business card that says low post consultant on like his business?
Damn,
card?
He's a consultant. I'm telling you, he got it. It says footwork. It says paint footwork consultant.
The post whisperer.
When you a specialist like that, you gotta go see a man that goes there and sees another man that goes sees a man to tell him that maybe this dude is worthy of touching the same floor as you, and then he decides to send a message through a little pigeon back to you to tell you that you can come see him. Ain't no business.
And Brad, you gotta go see him in a cave, the one that Ricky Williams was
in. A cave. He up there somewhere with the Taliban. He up there somewhere with the Taliban in a cave.
Smoking nice cheaper.
This to me like heightens Hakeem's stature. Hakeem is that.
And you can only pay him, in $1.25 million worth of gold.
Jimmy, you're right. Hakeem, in about a year, is going to be considered by everybody as the greatest center of all time. Because ain't nobody going to Bill Russell for no damn post-work.
They're going to him to see how to get their hair net.
And they're going to Shaq. They might go to Shaq for Jabberwocky lessons, but they're not going to do no.
Somebody needs to go to Bill Russell
and get that boy a shape up. That's what they need to do.
I was about to say, they're going to Bill Russell to get hair nappiness lessons. How to get their hair nappier. How to get their
hair nappiness lessons.
Bill Russell is like a character on Sanford and Son.
He's like one of Grady cousins.
He does.
So now, does this prove that it's between Hakeem and, I guess,
Sasquatch?
That was who I was going to say,
Kareem.
But I guess
Kareem.
I guess it's Kareem and Hakeem.
Yeah.
Because Kareem has his. So now they're like ninja. They're like ninja schools. They're like ninja schools. Like
Kareem made Andrew Bynum a viable center. Bynum did.
Yeah.
Help. He need to get that ball.
But yo, real quick in our chat room, John says that Chris Bosh, that tattoo was his initiation into the Illuminati.
He must have got that from Jay-Z then.
Anyway, somebody tell him I didn't get in touch with his show.
Alright, I got that. Hey Bam, while I'm doing that, since we're about to get into some HOF or FOH, announce that because people like that segment.
Okay.
Can't know who we're talking about until we talk about them now. Alright, everybody, y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're on the website, sign up for the War Report, which is our weekly newsletter, right from our homepage. And if you unsubscribe from the newsletter, we know who you are. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you own your own business, you need to get with us now because it's getting real in the field. If you'd like to send an email to one of us personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. While you're still on the site, warroomsports.com, click on the memorabilia tab to buy cool War Room Sports merchandise and click the blog tab to read the latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page and to follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to and friend our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. For access to all of our media content in one place, anywhere, anytime, download the War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple device. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. Say something cool, we'll say it on the air. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you're too lazy to do that, you can sign in through your Facebook and Twitter accounts. While you're at it, follow us to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline. You can do this right now at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand. Who knows? We might just get to you. So real quick, we're going to play a round of our favorite segment, and it's a lot of our listeners' favorite segment, HOF or FOH. And if this is your first time listening or your first time catching this segment, HOF or FOH is a game where we pick a player in any sport and we see if he's worthy of being in our HOF, our Hall of Fame, or if he should FOH. You figure that out for yourself. So today in HOF or FOH, our subject is... because of his brother actually mentioning him in his Hall of Fame speech the other day, he got us to thinking. So today's subject, fellas, is one Mr. Sterling Sharpe. So who want to start it off? Sterling Sharpe. Bam. Sterling Sharpe.
Okay.
Can he get into your Hall?
Sterling Sharpe. Yeah, he goes. Sterling Sharpe goes into my Hall, especially for the fact that he's been retired for quite some time and has yet to make it. I mean, he was just as dominant as, if you ask me, Irvin, Chris Carter, maybe a notch below Jerry Rice, didn't have the longevity, but obviously his career was ended from his neck injury. And Jimmy, that's one of the other four receivers I was saying I might take over Moss, with Sterling Sharpe. That's one of the four.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's in there, Sterling Sharpe.
Sterling. All right, B. Austin, Sterling Sharpe. What are you going to, y'all?
7-year career, 5 consecutive, over 1,000 yards receiving. He's borderline, man. I got to get back to you.
You said 5 consecutive? That's not true.
It's not 5 consecutive?
Yeah, 3 consecutive.
3 consecutive, 1,000 yards. Okay.
I mean, it would have been 6. But he only had 961 in 1991.
Okay.
I mean, it's not far off, you said, but. And no, you can't get back to us. Make a decision. Tell me I get back to you. You're going to do that next week?
FOH. FOH.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jim. Go ahead. You got it.
I say HOF because. I mean, the numbers don't lie. I mean, he led the NFL in catches, like, on 3 different occasions. And in 1992, he won the wide receiver triple crown, so to speak. He had led the league in receptions, yards, and touchdown catches. If you compare his 7 seasons to the first 7 of anybody, they're right on par with him. And I'm talking about anybody, including Gary.
Right.
His numbers, like, speak for themselves. And he played with the young, erratic Brett Favre. Then again, the Brett Favre always been erratic. But and was able to put up numbers, and I give him credit because he made African American football players think it was okay to come play in Green Bay. Because before him, like yo, anyway, go ahead though.
Yo, hey Jim, I got to give more credence to his stats now that you said that he played with the young, erratic, strong-armed Brett Favre. I just wish there was more longevity, man. Like, his numbers look real good, to be honest with you. And, I mean, he was a great receiver. It's just that the longevity. He was very productive for the time that he actually did play. I'm going to go, yeah. And I'm going to say HOF because even his brother said it. Now, I might be the older player in my own family. The only one that played is our 234 player. There's the only player in my own family. That means I'm the Hall of Fame and I'm the best football player. But no, I couldn't get through my Shannon Sharpe. But you understand what I'm trying to say. I say HOF, man. All
right, this is my thing. All right, Sterling Sharpe was an absolute beast. You know what I'm saying? He was one of the best receivers that I've seen in my time. John, no, I put a lot of weight on longevity, and if y'all don't know what we're talking about when we say longevity, we mean longevity. We're not illiterate. That's just how we, you know, it's how we say it. So his longevity is a problem for me, but Sterling Sharp, okay, in his seven-year career before he did have the injury, he started all 16 games in all 7 years that he played. He had 55 receptions as a rookie. Then he went to 90. Then he went down to 67, 69, 108, 112, and 94. And his yardage was 791, 1423, 1105, 961, 1461, 1274, and 1119. I'm going to go ahead and surprise y'all because y'all know I hold longevity in high respects here. But like his brother said, like my fellow said before me, you can put his first 7 years up against any receiver in the history of the NFL, and he's going to hold his own, if not have favorable numbers over that other receiver. So I'm going to go ahead and say my man should be in the Hall of Fame. I know this is my Hall of Fame, so I was going to use the fact that people like Gale Sayers played like 6 minutes in the league and made the Hall of Fame, this and that, but I'm not even going to use that because I hold a different standard to my Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Sterling Sharp, quick, man.
Let me ask you a question.
His top 7 years, but even if we do look at the other Hall of Fame, yo, he got the same numbers in 7 years that John Stallworth and Lynn Swann had in like 10 and 12 years. Like, his numbers are right there with theirs. His numbers aren't that fall off of Michael Irvin.
And we didn't even say his touchdowns. The boy had 65 touchdowns in 7 years. Like, come on, man. He only scored one.
And
he went 12,
6,
4,
7,
18.
In 94. Go ahead. You got it.
Let me ask you a question, and because you put Sterling in with his numbers in 7 years, and you don't put Chris Carter in.
Look at his first 7 years, and look at Sterling Sharp's first 7 years.
I mean, I feel that, but
Chris
then
Carter,
he just paid
to me, he was great. He was a very good receiver. I just think he was a bit of an accumulator. You know what I'm saying?
He's an accumulator. Austin, let me ask you a question.
Played in a bunch of he caught a bunch of meaningless balls.
Hey, Austin, at the top of their games, right, at the peak of their games, they're both sitting in front of you, and you get to pick a receiver. Who are you taking, Chris Carter or Sterling Sharp?
I'm taking Sterling, but that doesn't negate my opinion that Chris belongs in the Hall, though.
So my thing is this, though, like, sometimes, like, we say these players need longevity, but if you're able to put up the same amount of numbers as, like, John Stallworth played, like, 14 seasons and had, like, 62 touchdowns.
I always thought Pittsburgh's receivers were overrated. So, like, that Lynn Swann and all of them, they're, like, I don't think they should have been Hall of Famers.
Yeah, see,
really,
this is a different thing, and I don't want to throw another sport into the mix and have us go off the topic, but remember we were talking about Yao Ming, and we was like, longevity is a problem with him, but that's because, okay, he had good stats. So good stats plus no longevity probably doesn't get you into my Hall of Fame. But this dude, injuries took him out after 7 years, but it's not like he just had good stats. I don't think what he did as a receiver was the equivalent of putting up 18 a game in the NBA. This dude
this is like 29, 30 a game.
He had dominating stats as, you know, a receiver for 7 years. That's why I'm giving him a longevity pass. And
so,
plus him and his brother used to eat raccoons and turtles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He got to get a heart like that. Put that man in the Hall of Fame typing or something, man.
So would you put cats like Terrell Davis, in the Hall? Jimmy, don't answer.
Oh, I'm passionate about that. Don't get me started.
We're going to talk or we're going to have. Terrell Davis is going to be the – you know, he's going to be the subject of one of these.
He's going to be on the ballot.
if one of us
I got speech
says
for that.
No, then you can call us on it for not being.
So committed. I guess dominance is the key here for you.
For me, it is.
I'm thinking back to like Barry Foster and his dominant 2 years. I know it was only two
that's
years.
Not That's not enough.
Yo, dude ran for like slavery yards in a season.
See, that's like because I wasn't on the show when you guys were talking about Priest Holmes, but I don't think I would have put him in because even with his, you know, dude was nice for like 2 or 3 good years. But this dude was dominant for 7 straight, played all 16 games in all of those years. So, you know, the only year where his stats were even human were his rookie year, and that's how it was supposed to be.
I'm fronting. I put him in the hall. You'll change my mind. I've always been a Sterling fan. I thought he never really got his due, even when he was rocking. I thought that people paid too much attention to Jerry Rice and John Taylor and all of them cats. But I always thought Sterling was Hall worthy.
All right, well,
yo,
until
check
next
this out.
Time,
yeah, I got a stat for y'all.
Good.
Real quick. Sterling Sharp has more first-team All-Pros than Irvin and Chris Carter combined.
There you go.
Well, Irvin's overrated.
Sterling
no.
was
not overrated.
Sterling was
overrated.
Hey, his brother.
Chill, hold up. He ain't overrated now.
Yeah, when they got it, if you look at their career, it says, like, similar players for career. When you have Irvin, it says Reggie Wayne, Rod Smith, Torrey Holt, Randy Moss, Chad Ochocinco, Herman Moore, Dale Schofner, Jimmy Smith, Cliff Branch, Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, but I mean, you know what? As a matter of fact, like, we should do another segment where we start yanking cats out of the Hall of Fame. We're going to start talking about cats that are already got in. We're going to start yanking them out the Hall of Fame.
Call that junk. Get the hell out.
call that junk. Get your ass out of here.
You're going to Debo them. Debo the Hall of Fame.
No, but like I said, yo, when Shannon Sharp started saying that, it looked like Sterling was a little uncomfortable because he was like, come on, man, don't do that. Don't play me like that. Like, don't beg for me to get into the Hall. But at the same time, you know, he was going through a little sentimental moment, and he was probably glad that his brother did that for him. But it got me to thinking, like, yo, Sterling Sharp was one of the best receivers I've ever seen.
And he was a little tank. He was like an Anquan. He was like an Anquan Bolton type dude.
He was kind of like bigger. For back then, receivers weren't really that big. They were all like skinny and lanky. He was kind of.
Man.
All right, so looks like everybody here put Sterling into their Hall of Fame. B. Austin just needed a little pride and to put the man in there.
Did Kill put him in too?
I put him in.
Okay, cool. No doubt. It's unanimous.
Even if he didn't, he would have, you know, by majority vote, he would have been in the War Room Hall of Fame. So Sterling gets into the War Room Hall of Fame. In a minute, we're going to talk about his brother's speech, so we'll get back to this. So, Jimmy, take us into that NFL talk.
No doubt. It's time to talk some pigskin. And, of course, the games haven't started yet, but we still want to talk football because we love football. Let's talk about the Hall of Fame festivities of the past weekend. I just want to get you guys' thoughts on, the actual speeches from the players and the contributors. You know, Ed Sable, Richard Dent, Chris Hamburger, Les Richter. Well, Les Richter's son was there. Shannon Sharp, Marshall Faulk, and Deion Sanders all went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which I like that they have a Pro Football Hall of Fame, unlike Hoops. But anyway, let's go open the floor. What are you guys' thoughts about the whole thing?
Can I start real quick, man, just with Ed Sable? Because I know we had this discussion way back in football season when he put his name in. B. Austin wasn't too sure that the contributors should be in there. Yo, for his
Chris
speech,
Carter, that's
prior to his speech, they did a video montage from NFL Films. They said this was the last one he directed. Well, you know, he directed it just because he was going into the Hall. Yo, I sat there with goosebumps. Staring at the ceiling, yo, this video was great. And it's like that kind of moment right there shows you why somebody who contributed what he contributed to the NFL should be in the Hall of Fame.
It's crazy.
But that video was
awesome. Like, as I watched this weekend, like, I grew up watching NFL films, but I finally realized what it is about NFL films that makes it so special. It's that damn music. They play them certain songs, and John Facenda's voice, yo, when he talks about the Raiders, John Facenda's voice is all that, yo. If I had John Facenda's voice, yo, I would do nothing but play on people's phones, yo.
You said you'd play on their phones.
I would spend my whole life just playing on phones. Like, his voice is all that, cuz. Like, come on,
calling
man.
People house like, did you order a pizza?
How do you do? How do you do?
Yo, that video is great, man. And then you realize when you watch an NFL Films video how many times you've seen some of these clips in other NFL films video because you know them by heart.
NFL, that's bad, but not for long when you make them kind of calls.
Like,
the black dude from the Raiders, he's blowing the smoke out of his mouth as he's running down the field all crazy.
NFL films, man. Nobody say nothing bad about Ed Sabor going in your mouth. But,
and aren't they from Philly?
They're from the area, out of Philly, in the county.
Yeah, they're
from the county.
They're from the area? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know some of them live over in Jersey now. Like,
like Ed, right? Or Steve,
yeah.
I forgot, they're local.
I mean, they ain't from the hood, though. I mean, you know, they ain't never been up Augustine Lake or nothing. But
they're from Brickyard.
They ain't been up Augustine Lake or nothing, but, you know, they ain't been out there. But they from an area, though.
Yo, but yeah, I didn't want to start off with that one, man. That was hot. So what else stood out to y'all?
It's amazing how, and you see this with a lot of athletes, and it's not to get like on some socioeconomic type stuff, but it's amazing how so many of the speeches talk about going back to their days of poverty and to like the driving force being like a broken family in some sort, and like to give them the inspiration and always having like their motivation through getting to the NFL was always like to make their bring their family or their mother or their grandmother or just give them a better life. So it's funny how, I mean, not funny, but it's just interesting how that really, like we, you know, just not necessarily take it for granted, but we look at people and we know situations in us and just coming up, it's amazing how like your life, like the way you were raised can be such
a driving force.
I guess a motivator, a driving force for you, like athletically.
Yeah.
So it's just, that stood out to me a little bit. And that's what I was trying to get at. Shannon Sharpe's joined. Yo, I didn't know you can eat some of the things that my man said that they were eat. That they ate. Honestly, I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm like, yo, I didn't know you could like eat a possum or a raccoon. I guess you can eat anything.
I thought raccoons were like ravenous animals. Like you don't eat no rabies.
Yo, I said the same thing, but I tell you one thing. Like yo, these speeches, yo, I can't watch them around like anybody else because I'll be in the crib like looking at the ceiling trying to stop myself from yawning. You know, like you know, I ain't no punk or nothing, but yo, these speeches like yo, it's crazy. I mean, it's just crazy.
Real.
And another thing is, I would never guess that Marshall Faulk was from New Orleans because everybody I know from New Orleans doesn't talk like Marshall Faulk. They talk
like they got
a mouthful of feces.
Marshall speaks the King's English, and most people from New Orleans
don't. Yeah, I would have like, never guessed he was from the Ninth Ward. Like, come on, he ain't from the Ninth Ward.
Don't speak that English, baby. Matter of fact, I'm going to be down there.
Don't talk
in,
like
September, I'm going to catch a Saints-Bears game while I'm down there.
Yeah, be
careful. I'm going to be around all them feces mouth people that Jimmy was just talking about.
Some yuck mouth. Yuck mouth.
All them SMPs be down there
You know, PJ was saying we didn't know that you can eat some of the animals that these dudes ate. I'm thinking, man, we need to start feeding our kids this because they got two NFL players out of that household.
Yo, I told somebody that. I was like, yo, they said they giving people raccoon and possum and all that. Yo, maybe it's something to that.
Raccoon, we ate squirrel, turtles, and his grandma fished a lot, so I'm sure they ate a lot of fish. And you know, it was crazy. His story was real crazy, but the thing about it with me, after the whole night was over and they were just on NFL Network talking on the panel, and he came back up there, basically did the speech over again and was telling everybody on the panel how poor he was, then it started to get on my nerves a little bit. Like, all right, man, we got it. You know what I'm saying? You told him. He was trying to press
the issue.
He kept talking just to Michael Irvin, like the other dudes weren't on the
bench. Yeah, he kept saying, yeah, Mike. You know Mike?
Yeah, Mike.
You know Mike?
You know what I did, Mike?
Yeah, Mike.
This is what we ate, Mike. Yo, like Mooch would ask him the question, and he'll turn and say, Mike, like, this is what we had to eat, Mike. I'm like, okay, Shannon, I get it, man. You were poor.
Yeah, Mike, you know, we had to eat any kind of stuff that they had there, Mike. You know, I mean, we just ate what was up on the road. I mean, you had giblets and liver.
What's crazy is he definitely did do that. But I think that, like, overall, he had, like, the best speech. I listened to him afterwards. He was on another podcast, and he answered a question that I had for, like, years. Because I always thought, I was like, yo, there's no way that him and Sterling have the same father. Because Sterling talks the King's English, and he talks like he just escaped from slavery 3 days ago. So, and the thing is, as a matter of fact, it was Jason Whitlock, and he asked him straight up. He was like, yo, why you talk the way you do and why the Sterling? He asked him straight up. And I always wondered this. He said that when Sterling had went away to school, Sterling was trying to get so far away from that, you know, environment that he basically practiced changing his dialect. And Shannon basically said, look, Sterling is smarter than me. I don't know how to do that. I'm just not that bright. I couldn't.
Well, you see,
because if you listen to them two dudes talk, there's no way you think they're raised in the same household.
Real quick before we continue, if anybody wants to call in and weigh in on the Hall of Fame induction speeches from last weekend, that number again is 323-410-0012. Want
to
hear from y'all.
Who do you think had the best speech overall, in your opinion? I think it would be the Sharp to me. Who do you think had the best speech?
It had to be Sharp. Probably followed by, like, Dion, you know, because he had the same type of thing. He was telling everybody how his motivation was, you know, people making fun of his mom's and her job. You know, I didn't think
what
was doing sounded that bad. I think he was just
I kind of had like a little problem with his speech because it's like,
I would have had a problem with it if I was his mom. Like, damn, he's ashamed of my
job. It's
dad.
Just the way he said it. It's like he misled
all that money
something.
I paid you.
You talking to these kids, right? And you telling these kids that you were embarrassed by your mom basically working hard. She worked hard, so I was embarrassed, and so she didn't have to work. But it's nothing wrong with working hard.
And Jimmy, you're not exaggerating when you're saying, when you said tell the kids, because he brought a gang of kids to the thing.
Yeah.
So he was like,
I'm
with a bunch of kids. I'm ashamed of my mom's.
But I'm ashamed of my mom for working hard.
She wasn't shoveling dookie. She was pushing a cart in a hospital.
Yo, she working hours so you can do better, which is that's what America's about. You don't want your
and
kids,
he
want
said
your kids
he was always
you.
Best dressed kid in school, so she was doing something for
she
you.
She was working her ass off. Yeah,
she
my
was
thing
crazy.
Is like he could have said like one more thing.
Yeah.
No, he still had a great speech though. He had a great speech.
How about you put the bandana on the
bus?
And I had to do something.
Marshall
crazy.
Faulk kind of put me to sleep a little bit.
Yo, I think Richard Dent is still talking.
Yo, I think Richard Dent's daughters, like, they was trying to get a date. But yo, another thing is, yo, what's up with your man Dion's agent having braces at like 55 years old? Why you like, who gets braces that old?
He just made it. He just got the money. He's like, look, he never late.
He's got some veneers. Got the Chris Rock, John. Take them all out and put some new ones in.
Man, Rich.
But anyway, let me ask you guys
a question,
though.
Oh, go ahead, Jimmy.
No.
I was just going to say, moving forward, like, who do you think that has been snubbed and then it should go in looking forward to next year's, you know, Hall of Fame?
Chris Carter and Art Monk.
I knew you were going to say Chris Carter.
Then Art Monk finally made it, didn't he?
Yeah, Art Monk is in.
I think he did,
He's been snubbed so long.
Yeah, he got snubbed for a long time. See, it's different with him. Like, you might compare his numbers to Chris Carter and say, well, if he's in, he should be in. But it's kind of different because when Art Monk retired, he had every record there was as a receiver. So you have to take that into account, too. Like, before everybody started being super receivers, Art Monk had every record that there was to be had, so they
snubbed
him, let everybody pass him, and then probably use that against him trying to get into the hall.
He's an accumulator.
Did you catch Chris Hamburger's speech? He was just doing a stand-up routine. He was going at everybody else. Like,
no, he definitely was. He definitely was.
He was talking about how Richard Dent. He was like, you know, they said we're supposed to get 6 to 8 minutes. But, you know, who in their right mind going to tell Richard Dent to shut up? Like, dude, when
I was going to ask y'all, who do you think was the best player at their position, the most dominant?
Of that crop?
From
of that
weekend?
Class. Yeah,
Dion. I would say Dion.
To me, it's about Dion or Marshall. Marshall was an absolute beast, man.
Marshall was hitting L1 on cats back in the day like it was nothing.
Exactly. So I'm not sure. I might go with Marshall and then maybe Dion. But with Dion,
I would say Dion because let me ask you a question, Dev. If you're making your top running backs of all time, where do you put Marshall Faulk? Would he be in your top five?
He might have to be just because of who I've seen. He seems like a low-key type dude. You kind of forget about Marshall until things like this, like the Hall of Fame induction. you kind of forget about him, but then when somebody brings his name up, you're like, damn, I forgot how nice Marshall was.
But see, that's what I'm saying. That's why I would say Deion, because, like, I know you're going to tell me Deion is one of your top three corners without question.
Yeah, but yeah, no doubt. But think about it. Think about it this way, too. It's a whole lot of – I think it's a whole lot more great running backs than great cornerbacks, though. So he – Marshall got more people to compete with to get into a top five.
Yeah, but that's why I said to answer Austin's question. That's why, to me, it would have to be like Deion because – yo, he kind of, like, redefined that position. He made it sexy, like, in a sense.
Remember, back then, corners didn't get paid like that. Now they're some of the highest-paid people in the league.
Exactly, because Deion showed you how a corner can actually just change an offense just from the cornerback, meaning that they're only working off of one side of a field. Because they just feel like, all right, well, it's not worth the risk to throw at him. It's just not. He's too dangerous when he catches it.
Deion is like a once-in-a-lifetime player because even if you look after Deion, there's really nobody that can compete with him in terms of, like, his athleticism and nothing. And
the running backs, the tailback came around the corner. Deion dove at his knees, missed the tackle. The other team was making fun of him and said, make the tackle. He stood up and said, make more cash.
He said, make more cash.
Marshall, man, well, I got bad memories of Marshall because destroyed our Eagles in that championship game in the second
half. Man, all
2001.
Yeah, we had that game.
All lonely.
Man, he killed us in that second half.
Yo, every time he got the ball, it was like, I am better than Donovan.
plus Deion's a better rapper than Marshall. So, that ain't hard.
That ain't hard to do.
It must be.
No, I actually would take Marshall over Deion.
You take him under.
I hear Marshall rap.
Yeah, Deion used to rock a wet Jerry curl under his helmet, man.
That's probably why he had to start wearing a bandana because he was getting all that stuff over his.
He's probably
helmet.
Saturating them bike helmets. They wore them bike helmets back in the day, saturating them.
Deion was straight like go to the Cowboys, win a chip. He went to the Niners for 1 year. Won a chip to drop down his chin. Deion was nice, but yo. Anyway, enough of the Hall of Fame. I knew that he would say Chris Carter. Dad, do you have any thoughts on anybody you think should get in next year?
Who's been snubbed?
Yeah, and also you got cats like Curtis Martin coming
Curtis
up.
Curtis Martin, yes.
I like Curtis too.
He was gonna be a subject one time, but I think we might have switched at the last minute. Curtis Martin to me is going to be hard to call, but I don't know. I don't have any snubs. No, I don't have any snubs because it's hard to get.
What about Randall Cunningham?
How about
are you serious? I'm laughing. I'm like, hold up, you ain't laugh. Are you serious?
Randall may have redefined the position, so he off his. You know, his talent.
He's going to get in as a contributor.
And his contribution. That's what I'm about to say. Off his talent, production, and contribution, he probably should be in the Hall of Fame, though.
Yo, I reached it. I made Eagles fans. He logically reached.
I just homered that. I
got Dante Culpepper.
Anyway.
Dante Culpepper said he made a statement the other day that said, like, yo, I'll play for anybody. He said he's down to 265, which is his best playing weight, and he said he's waiting for somebody to call him so he can try out. He said he can still throw the ball 75 yards in the air. Everybody thinks that's great.
It don't help you throwing 75 yards in the air if you're playing in the Arena League.
Jamarcus Russell
got
75 yards off his knees.
I know, off his knees.
Trash truck just personified.
Exactly.
Yeah, he is a bum. But, yo, let's move on to some more football talk. The NFL says they're going to be testing for HGH, and they may test, like, right before games, do blood tests. My question to you guys is, what's the point?
Well, no, hold up.
They
said they're still trying to find – a way to consistently test for HGH. The ones that they're trying to do on game day, they're just testing for performance-enhancing substances, but not recreational drugs. So So, you know, they ain't testing you for COVID.
Yeah, but they said, I know that they were trying to do HGH as well, but my question is, what is the point, though, of all this? Like, if I'm an owner, I don't want you testing, because if I'm an owner, I don't want players on
you
want
your players.
Yeah. With what an NFL player goes through, no lie, this is my position, it's kind of radical. I believe steroids shouldn't be banned. Not with what they go through.
Hear me out.
Because a steroid really is based on recovery. Now, I know it enhances performance because you're able to work out that much longer and that much harder, but you're never in a position as an NFL player where you're not hurt. You're never in a – so the only time you're at your optimal is in the off season, really. During the season, they need that to recover.
I understand what you're saying, but you can't just allow people to do stuff that's going to give them an edge on the competition. Now, by your logic, and you're saying everybody probably would do it if it wasn't banned, but some people are afraid to put stuff into their bodies. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people – they're like, look, I'm just going to have to get a competitive edge in another way because I don't know what this is going to do to me long term. Look at some of the cats from back in the day who were taking steroids. I'm pretty sure they got
like Lyle Alzado.
Yeah, like
I mean, he did that. Yeah.
But, you know, Austin, I don't think your argument is that radical. I've heard someone make the argument, and then basically they said that if you completely cleaned up sports in terms of things that are considered to be illegal, it would go back to ACL tears taking 3 and 4 years to come back from. Because there's so many things on the banned substance list that, you know, that even things that are over the counter you can take, which will say that you're on a performing enhancing drug, that if
somebody
you really
got hit up like
sport,
that.
Yeah, if you really,
somebody
if
got
you really clean
DMT,
up sports.
Jim.
Exactly. If you really clean up sports, it's going to go, medicine will take us, it'll be back to the point where cats look at a sprained ankle or a torn ACL and be out, like, you know, 3 years and whatnot. You know what I mean?
I believe there's a lot of players that's on different stuff. I'm just looking at some cats that be like 285 pounds with no neck and like 0.3% body fat. And I'm like, I understand that y'all train and work out real hard, but some of that is just not humanly possible the way
some
of
these
dudes are built.
Like,
I know
like
they got strenuous work,
hey,
huh?
Real quick, I just want to let y'all know that the Eagles-Ravens game started. And they shown a little bit of on NFL Network if you look up at the monitor.
Yo, but what's crazy is like, yo, their alignment is like 350. That'd be running like a 4.4.
Yeah. And you gonna tell me they did that by doing squats? Come on, man.
Come on.
Ain't nobody that fast that big, man. I ain't trying to hear that.
Yo, man, come on.
Not
man.
Naturally.
Like,
so. If they clean up sports, I think it's a lot of players that's going to get tagged, and like it's going to be, I don't know, man. I think a lot of people take stuff, and just like you said, because if you go to GNC right now, I feel like going to GNC, like I'll get my multivitamin from there, but looking at like the back wall, they got all this new stuff that's supposed to like enhance your workouts, because I feel like I need a prescription to buy stuff from GNC anymore, because I don't even understand what it is, and it's just so much stuff that they're able to put into like over the counter things now. So
yo,
we'll see.
Jenkins just pummeled what's the name on the first play of the game?
Who the QB?
Yeah. He got the pass off though. And if Kirk Coleman would have just turned around, he would have got the interception, jerk.
Let me ask you a question though, all three Eagles fans. What's the over under and how many games before Mike Vick gets hurt?
By third game.
Because you know, Brad, Vince Young is next, cuz. I mean, I know it's reality.
No, and Jimmy, offline, we had that dialogue, and he was so gracious as to say, you know, I shouldn't be considering the backup quarterback and be, you know, worried about that. But what I tried to explain to him is we're not dealing with Kyle Orton here, like your Broncos. Michael Vick is going to leave the pocket. And Michael Vick is going to take on someone that he has no business taking on. And Michael Vick is going to sit down for 1 to 3 games because that's the way he knows how to play the game. So it's much more likely that we see our backup than other teams.
Even when we had McNabb, we always saw our backup at some point in the season.
But hold on, though.
Yeah.
Real quick, though. My point to Brad was calling me all upset about like the signing of Vince Young. And I told him that, listen, you have a team that can possibly compete for a championship. I said, I've never heard a fan of a team, like put that much stock into a backup quarterback. Like, yo,
look at the point.
I know the game.
Because
I know the game. I'm not just a fan. He's going to see the field. I know every position on that team and what our capabilities are. That's why I'm not all hype. Our linebackers are the equivalent
of my son,
and y'all unborn sons playing. Like, yo, our linebackers are terrible, and our backup quarterback is a maniac.
My point is this, though. If any elite team, if Tom Brady goes down or Peyton Manning goes down and they can't play, like, if they miss a substantial amount of time and including the playoffs, it doesn't matter. Like,
no, man, you didn't watch last year what happened to the Pittsburgh Steelers? Yeah, their QB went down and they won 4 straight.
Yeah, they won the first 4. They wouldn't have won in the playoffs with a backup. I'm just saying.
We don't know that. That didn't happen. We know that their QB went down and they were able to keep it moving.
You don't know they would have either because that didn't happen as well. My point is,
the Patriots run 11
like going to a season
with a backup.
Yo, can you say that again, bro?
They didn't make the playoffs. My point is this.
I bet Jim,
you put that
you know that.
Jim, don't make that argument with an 11. Let's
not
talk about the playoffs. They were 11-5.
Should've,
they were 11-5, and you know that in normal situations, an 11-5 team makes the playoffs. A 10-6 team makes the playoffs. So that's a flawed
argument.
Yeah,
they didn't make the playoffs. Yeah, if grandma had balls, she'd be grandpa. Listen, though.
Take
playoffs out of it. They went 11-5. That's a good record. Playoff or not,
yeah,
they went 11-5.
Yeah, with Matt Castle. But my point is, they didn't win the championship. I'm talking about winning a championship. We were talking about
winning a championship with Vince Young.
Doug Williams did it.
Doug Williams started 8 games in the course of that season, and Doug Williams is the starter like in the playoffs.
Doug Williams
didn't
start till the playoffs.
Doug Williams had starts that season. Doug Williams had starts that season.
I don't remember that.
The only reason I know is because I've had this argument and looked it up, and he actually had starts that season. So a Doug Williams situation they try to paint it. They try to paint it to make it like, you know, this crazy story, but Doug Williams had starts that season. But anyway, that's my point is this, though. How are you putting that much stock in the backup quarterback? All I'm
because
saying
we're
is
we're going to see him.
See, the problem with Michael Vick is this.
I
think the problem with as much as Michael Vick has progressed from his Atlanta horrible, like not even a real quarterback days, he still has a problem with decision making. And as much as he was getting killed in the second, like last quarter of the season, those last 4 games, the offensive line was screwing up, and we needed to do some more protection schemes or better protection schemes. But a lot of that, and even that's coming out of the Eagles' camp, is Michael Vick does not pick up blitzes well at all. He does not.
Yeah, I heard that.
And the fact that he doesn't do that, he's going to be running more. Because he used to be the type that knew where he was going to throw the ball before the ball was snapped, and that was it. If not, he was running. And he still did a little bit of that, but I think with his decision-making, it's screwing things up.
I've heard that as well, PJ.
So we might see the Joker in, the third. Yeah.
I've heard it coming out of the camp.
But my
point was, I'm not saying Vic won't get hurt. My point was, if you're relying on a backup to win you a championship, you're in trouble anyway. I'm like, there's no way.
Big-time backup
quarterback. I'm like, I don't even know who Tom Brady's backup is, but I know that if Brady goes down, their chances of winning
And I think it's the same regardless of any of these teams.
It's not about them winning the chip with the backup. It's the fact that when your backup comes in, they have to be able to win for the time that they're in. That's not to say he's going to experience a season-ending injury, but it could affect the standings and it could affect the seeding. I want my backup to come in if Vic has to miss, let's say, a quarter of the season. I want us to have a strong possibility to win those 4 games. And then when Vic comes back, we're cool. But if we're going to lose some games with Vic, but we're going to lose all of those games with your man, but under center.
But nah,
and so right. Now
check
we're
this out.
Hold on,
even though it's misleading, Vince Young wins a lot of games.
He wins.
That's what I'm saying. It's very misleading. It's very misleading, but he does win games.
Well, you already acknowledge.
It's not an attribute to his talent.
You acknowledge
I'll tell you that much.
You acknowledge my rebuttal as you made that disclaimer, though, PJ, because he wins a lot of games in a 22-man team where we know that defense was winning games. And that
yeah,
running game, it's a slight to Chris Johnson to say that Vince Young wins when that running game is so dominant.
Though, hold on, though. Austin, that defense without him was not winning games. They were 3-8, and he won 5.
And that's why, that's why I brought up the running game. Chris Johnson, when you're a quarterback and you face 9 in the box, Jimmy, because they don't even face 8 in the box. They put 9 in the box and dare them to throw it. Yo, come on, man.
They even put a runner in the box.
My question is, why was that not happening when Vince wasn't there? The Titans had a losing record without Vince Young and a winning record with Vince Young, everything else being equal. Receivers being equal, running back being equal, and defense being equal.
So what is your point? What's your point about Vince
Young?
My point is
he wins games.
He's not
garbage. Since we're talking about the Eagles, what do you guys think about their wide receiver position right now? Because DeSean Jackson has shown up, and the Eagles have also signed Steve Smith. So what does it say about Jeremy Maclin? Does he have an apartment in D.C., or what's going on with him? How sick is he?
Very sick. Do you know they sent him back to St. Louis? He went back to St. Louis, I think, yesterday.
He might have an option in Virginia.
Oh, and for the record, y'all, Doug Williams started 2 games that year in the regular season when Schrader got hurt.
I know he started, though, but I know you went and looked it up because you got real quiet. He was one doing it.
Yeah, Dev was quiet for like 3 minutes.
Dev got quiet. I already knew what he was doing.
I thought he was taking care of home.
See if I made that up. I knew
Jimmy started 8 games.
I knew he started games, and I also know that.
So why did you say 8?
I wanted to put him in regardless.
Why did you say 8?
I don't remember.
You said half the season,
If he started two there and he played the playoffs, what's that, like 6 games?
Soldier dude. But it was he played in 5 games. He started 2 of them because the boy Schrader kept getting hurt.
All right, so he played in 5
games.
Maybe Austin, you know what it is? Maybe he showed up in a total of 8 games. He played in 5 games, and then including the playoffs, that probably was 8 games. Maybe he played in 8 games that season. I knew 8 was somewhere in there.
Okay, we
You throw a couple preseason games, he got 10 in that job.
He got a whole season.
He got a dozen.
My opinion on the whole Maclin thing, PJ said, like, first of all, they're not even disclosing what's wrong with the dude. So that's what scares me. And
he got a house in Virginia.
My opinion,
he got an apartment in D.C.
The Sports Center fans outside of Philly, they don't really know this because all they see is what's on Sports Center. Jeremy Maclin is a more important receiver to the Eagles than DeSean Jackson is because, you know, he's going to do more than just, you know, one or two routes. Now, DeSean's deep threat allows him, you know, to work underneath and do what he got to do to catch passes. But, you know, that's an important part of your offense. Now, them picking up Steve Smith, I initially thought that it may have had something to do with that. But he just had microfracture surgery, and he might be out until week 6 if they put him on the PUP list. So I'm like, well, they couldn't have picked him up as an insurance policy for Maclin.
Yeah, it wasn't. That was a strategic.
Here's the thing. Today I heard that, like, I heard about the being on the PUP list and not being until week 6 or 7. Now, today they said they expect them to be around week 3. I think we play the Giants week 3. But the Eagles were saying that they're thinking today that they're not going to put him on the PUP list, and they think he may be back in week 3. I don't know. The Eagles, you never know what's coming. I think they just put stuff out to, like, you can't really take for
Jeremy Maclin
being straight up and down,
killing dude.
Right. So I don't know. So that's what I heard recently today was that, hey, they thinking maybe week 3 as far as Steve Smith now with the recuperation from the meniscus. So I honestly, to put it like this, the receiver position to me is confusing. I don't know. Like, DeSean is there. They're not giving him a shake. Maclin, he just caught the gout mixed with gonorrhea or something. I don't know who he was smashing this offseason. That boy better get a better brand of condom. Broke his leg. Did he break his leg when he came down?
Yeah, stop and go back and get that.
He limping, though. That was the play in Green Bay Vic was dreaming about when he threw it, like, 8 yards short.
You know everybody in Philly saying, oh, yeah, Mike Vick. And Riley Cooper just made that whole play.
Yeah.
Nice catch.
Yeah, and
like, Devin hyperextended his leg. Devin, mid-season form already, yo.
Because I know people, sitting on their couch in mid-season form
already. They're already in mid-season form.
They're like, Mike Vick MVP. Look at that.
I know everybody. Hey, Jimmy, I know everybody sitting on the couch right now with their dinner, eating.
Real quick, though, let me ask you guys a question. Ricky Williams signed with his team here, Baltimore. Is that a good fit for him?
For him, he's gonna have a good season. I don't think it was a good fit for Baltimore. They needed other tools. They needed D line. They needed.
Yeah, but that don't
they
mean
let Blue Lip McGahee go.
They need something else. They lost McGahee.
Yeah, they let Blue Lip McGahee go.
I think they
go.
May have lost. Did they lose LaRon McClain or did they just move dude to fullback?
Moved him to fullback. They lost receiver. I don't know any of their receivers. I don't know who plays receiver for Baltimore.
Yo, they got the matter.
I don't think they have Hoosh. Hoosh was a free agent again. Hoosh is gone. And Mason is gone.
I know that.
They got
Hoosh is a free agent. He ain't get no gig yet.
But no, I think it's a good fit because it's a change of pace from what they're starting running back.
No, I think it's a good fit for him because I think Ricky Williams has more gas in the tank than people really think he does. I think
he's got that Cuba in his blood.
He had more of a productive career than people realize too.
I think Hall of Famer or FOA? Never mind.
Somebody on our Facebook page earlier in the week said it's a great fit because Baltimore got more drug dealers per capita than anybody else in the country.
Right. He could get some more of that Australian weed that he was smoking. And he was on the
right. In Baltimore, they don't mess with weed. They go straight to the, you know what I mean?
Another quick question I got for you guys is Matt Forte. He's trying his new thing. He's reporting to camp. He wants a new contract, but he said he's trying to skip some preseason games because he don't want to get hurt because he thinks he owes some more dough. I personally think he's playing himself because he's a light-skinned running back, and light-skinned running backs will never do well. So,
the light-skinned running back hasn't been nice since Robert Smith.
I was thinking about him when he was with the Vikings.
I was kind of going easy on Matt Forte early in the week, but I think if I did, I would be a hypocrite because when Clinton Portis used to be here in Washington trying to skip preseason games so he wouldn't get injured, I had a few bars for him every week. So I don't know, man. They really don't get paid for the preseason, so my first thought was it's a part of your job, but is it really? Especially if you know you got the starting running back spot locked up.
I don't know about that, but I looked at his yardage from scrimmage, and first of all, you know, I think Adrian Peterson is the best running back in the world, except for them fumbles. But did y'all know that from scrimmage, he's like Matt Forte is only like 300 or 400 yards shy of Adrian. He's got a lot of yards from scrimmage.
No, I know that because I play fantasy football. But that's probably the only reason I know that. But, yeah, he catches the ball out of the backfield, you know, and he's a good runner, not a great runner.
More of a utility guy.
I hear PJ. I'm about to react to that, too. Like, guess what's that?
I'm like, where he was throwing that joke to?
Yeah. But, you know, that was Avant's fault, as everybody else in Philly.
Yeah, but Matt Forte, he a light-skinned running back. He need to cut it out. So, yo, my next thing is this.
We got too many black quarterbacks in the roster.
I think
he should
play because it's the preseason. It's not like they're going to play you a lot anyway. And if you do get on the field and you're being all tentative, that's when you tend to get hurt. So just go out there and go full steam and earn your contract. Stop, girl.
Go ahead, Austin.
Matt Forte or Ray Rice?
Oh, Ray Rice all day.
Okay.
I'll take Ray Rice.
Ray Rice all day. Yo, he might have scored.
Yeah, but yo, real quick, though.
I think he was like an inch off, though. It looked like he left us.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ray Rice ain't no joke. He a little quick bowling ball.
Did you guys hear what Rex Grossman said?
Yeah,
he smoked that Ricky Williams. I heard a little bit of it. You can go ahead and do the quotes of you, because what exactly did he say?
All right, he's talking about, we're fine being the sleepers right now. You know, we're just waiting in the wings, ready to take over the NFC East. Nobody's talking about us. That's right where we want to be. You look at us from top to bottom out here, there's a bunch of great players, and we don't need people saying we're the best right now. But when it's all said and done, I really feel like this team's going to win the East. Man, what, East Washington?
He's had an opportunity to see the Eagles practice squad and the Redskins practice squad, and I guess from player number 54 through player number 62, the Redskins are stronger than the Eagles. That's what it is.
here is my problem. Here's my problem with the whole thing. Like, people were saying, he's tripping, he's crazy, he's on drugs. I heard all kinds of nonsense. But my thing is, what's he supposed to say?
Yeah, I knew exactly where he was going.
Is he supposed to say, we stink, we ain't going to win no games?
I feel you, but I just feel like he almost sounded...
talk macho or you could talk the truth.
I think he should shut his damn mouth.
Man, my thing is, you're supposed to be a leader of a team, and you want to, you're supposed to talk up your team. Now, you ain't supposed
First
to say,
of
yo,
all,
we stink.
That's the problem right there, though, Jimmy, because... His name is listed first on the depth chart just because he was here before, but they don't even know who the starting quarterback is. So he's taking he's just first on the depth chart. They haven't really
It's
named
Beck. Him and what's the other boy named John
him
Beck.
Him and John Beck.
John Beck.
But you know,
he
got
sound
the
like
most
a dentist or something. John Beck.
So he's going to be first on the depth chart in the preseason, but I mean, right. And I think he's going to be the starting quarterback when it's all said and done, but. Throughout the whole summer, you know, they've been giving John Beck all of this, you know, confidence, like he might actually have the job. Because remember we talked about it like a month or two ago when John Beck had some comments talking about the Redskins and, you know, people
mm-hmm.
telling him the same thing, like, you didn't even get the job yet. Like, what are you talking about?
Did you see Andy Reid misuse the challenge flag yet?
I was just getting ready to bring it up. I said some things never change.
Yo.
Selleck just
That's
got
good
one.
Good old Andy. Yeah.
All I'm waiting for now is him to, like, mess the clock management game up, and then, you know, then we know football's back.
Then it's complete.
Yo, that was a good pass by Vic, but his form is flicked as I don't know what. That boy got him. Every time he throw it, looked like he's trying to catch it. Like, he's trying to throw it and, like, pull back at the same time. Like, his follow-through is real flicked. Yo, all I know is this, because this joker got me nervous. I'm a Vic fan right now since he played with us, but he make me nervous, because... I just don't know where his mind is, and his God.
Yeah, plus he's getting all of his endorsements back and his dope. He's getting
a
lot of stuff
cause...
that could take his mind fully off of football.
Yep.
Yo, I'm not used to watching the Eagles kicker kick from like being a right-footed kicker, yo.
And I don't even know.
At the Acres.
Oh.
Yeah, who is our kicker
like,
now?
I feel like Acres has been here my whole life.
Yo, you know but Acres bought a billboard on the house. Oh, go ahead, Dad.
To your point. Yeah, I think that was before PJ got on. But to your point, people, they just don't want to acknowledge the fact that even last year, he had a great season last year, but in the last few games of the season, he regressed a little bit. He wasn't playing
Absolutely.
At the same level he was playing at when everybody was screaming MVP. So, you know, like I said, I hope he doesn't have too many things.
Yo,
to
that wide, that
yeah,
wide
the
open
defensive
blitz.
Coordinators
that,
realize that he does not
that,
pick up blitz as well. He,
yo,
he still does. I mean, that's a deficiency
the
of his
truth.
Game.
That,
and
that
then,
yo,
and then once that, that was exposed in Chicago, I think that was Chicago. Yeah,
that
I think it was in Chicago that game, and he was like, yo.
It was.
Then from then on, the Giants and everybody was just killing him. I'm like, yo, I don't know what's going on, but he needs to see this stuff. He needs to make sure that this – if he sees it, he needs to walk from, like a Peyton Manning tank thing and walk from under the center's butt and tell that tackle or the tight end or whoever's over there, like, yo, he's coming. I need you to make sure that he doesn't
were,
blind
they,
side. You need to get him.
What they were doing, PJ, is blitzing
disguising
him
it.
From, well, not even so much disguising it. It was outside of the tackle's responsibility. So they bring, like, let's say, a corner
like a delay
or a safety.
Type.
Well,
oh,
it was
the late
paper corner, a corner or safety
right.
off of the slot, and it would be directly in his face. So it's coming from the right side of the defense into his left hand, into his throwing side, and flush him, like Dev said, to the right. And he didn't know what to do with that. It wasn't even a direct blitz, like straight on from like one of the down.
Well, he need to get in the film
passes.
Room. He needs some more time in
yo,
the film room and like
that
look at
that guy. Confused, yo. When they would throw that blitz, he was confused.
Yeah,
He didn't know which way was left or right. He didn't know up from down. Yo, that bush was
awesome. You my man, cuz, but I know for a fact that you grew up a Philly fan, cuz. Yo, just talking to Austin, he's like a typical Philly fan.
Vic. I'm a fan of Vic, and I've looked at his game, and I'm actually pleased with him as a QB. He has made strides, huge strides in his game, and if this is the best that we can get, I can live with it because this takes me back to my Randall Cunningham days. But I don't want to act like
show's over.
With that being said, let's get out of here, y'all. Thanks for joining us this week in the War Room. We sit here and talk sports, and we forget time flying. Anyway, thanks to everybody who weighed in. Twitter, Facebook, and such. Tune in next week, same time, same place. We'll talk some more sports. We'll get you caught up on everything. So, again, thanks, everybody. And here is the greatest MC ever.
Yo, he is giving it to Jay-Z.
Come on. Paul, no Bert and Ernie.
I was a fiend. Before I became a teen, I melted microphones instead of cones of ice, clean music orientated. So when hip hop was originated, fitted like pieces of puzzles, complicated. Cause I grab the mic and try to say yes, y'all, they try to take it and say that I'm too small. Cool, cause I don't get upset. I kick a hole in the speaker, pull a plug, then I jet back to the lab without a mic to grab. So then I add all the rhymes I had, one after the other one, then I make another one to diss the opposite, then act as the brother's done. I get a craving like I fiend for nicotine, but I don't need a cigarette, know what I mean? I'm raging, creeping up the stage, and don't it sound amazing? Cause every rhyme is made and thought of, cause it's sort of an addiction, magnetized by the mixing, vocals, vocabulary, and verses just stuck in. The mic is a drain, no, volcanoes erupting, rhymes overflowing, gradually growing, everything is written in the code so it can coincide, my thoughts to God. 48 tracks to slide, the invincible microphone, beam rock him. Spread the word for some N-E-F-F-E-C-T. A smooth operator operating correctly. But back to the problem, I gotta have it, you can't solve it. Silly rabbit, the prescription is a hypertone. That's heroin, I fiend for a microphone like heroin. Soon as the bass kicks, I need a fix. Give me a stage and a mic and a mix, and I'll put you in a mood. Or is it a state of unawareness? Beware, it's the reanimator. A menace to a microphone, a lethal weapon or assassinator. If the people ain't stepping, you'll see a part of me that you never seen. When I'm fiending for a microphone, I'm the microphone fiend. After 12, I'm worse than a gremlin. Feed me hip-hop and I start trembling. The thrill of suspense is intense, you're horrified. But this ain't the cinemas of tales from the dark side. By any means necessary, this is what it has to be done. Make way, cause here I come. My DJ cuz material. It's a must that I bust any mic you hand to me. It's inherited, it runs in the family. I wrote the rhyme that broke the bull's back. If that don't slow him up, I carry a full pack. Now I don't wanna have to let off, you should've kept off. You didn't keep the stage warm, step off. Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to see a pastime hobby about to be taken to the maximum. I can't relax, see your life as a hypochondriac. Cause the rap be one hell of an antidote. Something you can't smoke more than dope. You try to move away but you can't, you broke more than cracked up. You should've backed up, but those that act up need to be more than smacked up. Any entertainer, I got a torch to chamber one on one, and I'm the remainder. So close your eyes and hold your breath, and I'ma hit you with the blow of death. Before you go, you remember your scene. The fiend of a microphone, I'm the microphone fiend.